The book of Numbers, chapter 16. Pastor Valoran has asked me to do the Bible reading and then he will come and preach. Numbers chapter 16, verses 41 to 49. Numbers chapter 16, verses 41 to 49. Numbers chapter 16, verse 41 reads, "But on the morrow all the congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, saying, 'Ye have killed the people of the Lord.' And it came to pass, when the congregation was gathered against Moses and against Aaron, that they looked toward the tabernacle of the congregation. And behold, the cloud covered it, and the glory of the Lord appeared. And Moses and Aaron came before the tabernacle of the congregation. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Get you up from among the congregation, that I may consume them as in a moment. And they fell upon their faces. And Moses said unto Aaron, Take a censer, and put fire therein from off the altar, and put on incense, and go quickly unto the congregation, and make an atonement for them. For there is wrath gone out from the Lord, the plague is begun. And Aaron took as Moses commanded, and ran into the midst of the congregation. And behold, the plague was begun among the people. And he put on incense and made an atonement for the people. And he stood between the dead and the living, and the plague was stayed. Now they that died in the plague were 14,700, beside them that died about the matter of Korah."
Thank you, Pastor. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we do give you thanks and praise for who you are. Lord, we're thankful that you are God that is worthy of all our praise. Lord, we're thankful for being able to be here. And Lord, we do seek that you be glorified. And Lord, we pray that you would work in hearts and lives. And Lord, that you would help us to be more like our Savior. Lord, we pray that you would just, Lord, do something in our lives, Lord. And we just love you, Lord, in Christ's name. Amen. Roughly about a year and a bit ago, I was reading through Numbers, and as often our pastor challenged us to do, trying to read your Bible for a year, and you go through a little book, you mark off what you've read, and so forth. I always fail that, but I get caught up on different sections, and I go down here, I go down there, I get lost, and anyway, so last year we were, started again from the start of the Bible, and we were doing our little thing, and I got to Numbers, and I was having a chat to a missionary acquaintance, I should say, and he was saying, "Well, if the Lord's calling you, he will confirm it in his word." I thought, "All right." Okay, so I thought, "All right, so Lord, confirm it in your word." So I said, "Okay, let's seek the Lord's calling in his word. Okay, if you want me to go, confirm it." So I was doing my the little things in life, your daily routine reading, and I got stuck for about 3 months on these couple of verses, and each time I would get to here, and the Lord would just challenge me, and I would just share with you the just six more points, how the Lord challenged me on these couple of verses, and stirred me up. You know, we need a stirring of God. If we're going to do anything for the Lord, we need God to move in our hearts and get us going. Okay. Let's just start at verse 41. Okay, 41. before we start there, as we went, we always go to the mid-north coast, particularly to Foster, for holidays, and it's a beautiful spot, and we always go there, and last year my wife said, "Oh, let's time give the kids a break, let's go on holidays." And I said, "Oh, let's go." I was picking different locations because I was wanted to go start a church somewhere, and I wanted to check out what churches and what people were like. So I know what's already at Foster. We've been there lots of time, and didn't want to go there. Wanted to go somewhere else. I was thinking trying to convince her to go to Cairns or go even further up into middle of New South Wales. And anyway, but time came and time went, and we ended up back at Foster. So we were there, and I was praying and seeking the Lord, and I noticed something. I noticed something was that the people had no hope. The people there were people that looked to me that, and then I checked out all the churches and all that. There was not much gospel preaching at all. Sound doctrine, that wasn't around either. You know, it was a lot of wacky teachings and a lot of sad things going along. So I sought the Lord about starting a church in Foster, and the Lord stirred my heart, and I went out door knocking and just talking to the locals and doing things of that sort during that time. I'd like you to leave your finger in Numbers 17 and turn to 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 3. So I was praying to the Lord, okay, you want me to start a church? What do you want me to call this church? And the Lord touched my heart concerning the people there, that the people without Christ, without the gospel, for the gospel is our hope unto salvation. And the people without the gospel are people without hope. And 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope, which is a living hope." And that's where we got the name from, by the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead. So the Lord touched my heart. I was doing some Bible reading again. You see, it's always the simple things. All right, it's nothing flash. There's nothing flash about me. You know, if you think about it and you look at study great missionaries or anybody you think is great, you'll find out there was nothing flash about them. It was just simple guys doing simple things, you know. Okay, back then they had to get on a boat for 6 months. That's a bit of a task, but you find that they're just simple people that God used. And so the Lord stirred my heart there again. So we should call the church Living Hope Baptist Church. That's why we want to. And this basically applies to you guys as well. You know, as the people around here are in the same boat, you know, as in Tari and around the world. Doesn't matter where you go, without Christ, they're without hope. You know, and we need to see that. We need to have a soul conscious as you wander around, and your friend at work and your guys next to you at Macca's or on the train. I don't get why in our society when you're on an elevator, you're like, you know, or you're in a train and you don't speak to anybody, you know. Why is that? It's strange. My cousin, she gets on the 7:30 train, and the whole train knows her by name, and she knows everybody by name. It's incredible. She's got a gift of a gab, and she's very, very friendly, and it's incredible because my other cousin bumped into her, and she was shocked. Everybody that walked in the train knew her, you know, and I think as Christians we should do that. I'm naturally very scared and very timid. I wouldn't stand here and speak to you. It's not in my natural nature. We got to get out of our comfort zone. You know, if we want to follow Christ, there's only three steps. Is say no to me, say yes to Jesus, and pick up your cross and follow. It's pretty simple. You know, deny the flesh and what's the scripture? Not coming to mind now. Help, Pastor. but the principle there is pretty simple in the Bible. The Bible is very simple. I love the Word of God. We've got men that are trying to make things confusing, and they call themselves smart and intellects, and they've got books and books upon subjects, you know, and start things like Calvinist and all sort of wacky and thing which people like me think, oh, you guys are crazy, you know, and just keep it simple and you'll be right. All right, let's get into this. So as we looked at in Mid-North Coast and it is a church faith without hope, you can drive for about 5 hours. You leave here and go, you get to Brother Charlie's church, and once you get out of there and you keep on going, you can, I was looking at it, I'm pretty sure it's about 5 hours till you hit the next church that is sounding gospel preaching. Don't get me wrong, all hope's not lost. God does use other churches that are bent and wacky, but that's the way it goes. But, you know, I'm not saying where it, God's got no hope. God will save people in the charismatic church. God will do stuff in as he does. God will work in, and there's Christians there, and there's Christians everywhere, you know. I'm not going to say there's Christians in the Catholic Church because they're whacked out. Sorry, change that. Their work-based salvation doesn't go according to the scriptures. You can't get saved through there. I've been told as we started that that we are not, what's the word? Anyway, not very well liked by the other churches in the area. Okay, let's just put it that way. Okay, and because we're too straight, we're too, you know, we're legalistic. We're legalistic, apparently. Anyway, whatever. But you know, it's a wonder when they're joining up with the lesbians and that preach and all the rest. You think that we probably are legalistic compared to the churches around that are just having, you know, ungodly things going on with their preaching and ladies' pastors and so forth. We anyway, so in Numbers, so get back to Numbers chapter 41. So what's happening there? And we see that in the morrow, all the congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, saying, ye have killed the people of the Lord. It's interesting that the congregation got up and deal. And just on the side point, that whenever something goes wrong in a church, or it's always the leader's fault. Whenever the country goes bad, it's always the foreign minister, whoever's in charge's fault. You know, and it's always somebody who's somebody else's fault, and we always point at the leader. You know, and be careful because the Lord deals with that. And we see that in here, you know. And so let's go on. We see down here. Okay, how did we get there? Why are the people murmuring? I'm glad you asked. Why are people complaining to Moses and telling him they've killed God's people? Well, it's actually to do with the rebellion of Korah. Rebellion of Korah. Korah got in his mind. He was a bit of pride, came in. He wasn't happy just being a Levite. He wanted the office of a priest as well, you know. And Moses had a chat with him saying, look, God's called you to a high position already, you know, you want, which is not yours. You know, sometimes when we're in the church and you see people with disagreement, often they're looking for another position. It's pretty sad that the whole thing here as we go on is caused by one man that wanted a position that wasn't his. You know, and all this is cause of a position. You know, we have church splits, we have people unhappy, and anyway. So Korah got his two friends and got them along, and they Dathan and Abiram, and went up and they gathered 250 princes, men of renown, famous, and these guys, and what they did was they said, let's go and deal with Moses and Aaron. You know, and they accused Moses and Aaron, saying to Moses that, you know, you take too much upon yourself. We're holy. We're God's people. Why are you making yourself a prince over us? Is that true? And then they go on and say, you know, we had a good back in Egypt, you know, and you've brought us here to kill us. And the reality of it all, did they have a good in Egypt? Was it good in Egypt? Or were they slaves? No, they wasn't very good in Egypt at all. You know, and many congregation in our time have the same attitude towards leadership. They think, Why is he telling us what to do? You know, what's going on here? You know, we've got just as much authority as he does, and it's not about authority, it's about position. You know, and that's what it's about. And Moses was a wise man, but he said to him, okay, well, you get some senses, or if you want to read that up, it's actually in the beginning. If you go back a little in your Bible and you turn to verse 3 and verse 16, and you see that in verse 3 says, and they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron, and said unto them, ye take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy, even one, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Therefore lift ye up thyself above the congregation of the Lord. All right, the next response of Moses, then when Moses heard it, he fell upon his face. All right. It's, as a leader or as a pastor or any pastor, it's a good response to fall on your face. You know, when you have people bring accusation against you, I don't have anyone accusing against me. I'm just a good bloke. But if you know, first thing to do is just fall on your face before God. And I love his response to them. And reality, he's the picture of Christ praying for his enemies. Now, why is he falling on his face? Because he's praying for them. Lord, you know, be patient. And he's praying for them back then. And then we see when Moses, and they pursued on, they wouldn't listen to his counsel. They went on and said, okay, fine, go get a censer, and you bring fire, and he told the 250 princes to come before the Lord, and he challenged them. He said, if God does something new today, and the ground open up, and the Lord, and you die, and you go down to the pit, you know that what I'm saying is true, in a sense, and these guys are liars, all right? And so, as we know, the ground opened up, and everything pertaining to these three families, their flocks, their tents, their children, their grandchildren, all went down into the ground, and the ground covered them. Okay? So this is what's happening here. Then on the morrow, everybody went off screaming, as you would picture. Ah! Everybody went off fleeing and screaming, as you would think. Because Moses did tell them to move away from them. And this is in the morning. Think about this. 250 princes died there, men, that would affect pretty much the whole congregation. Everyone would have somebody who they loved passed away. So they come up and again they accuse Moses again. You killed the people of God. Alright? My wife's half Italian and being ethnic, there's always a Vincenzo, you know, the prized son, one that does no wrong. The one that everyone looks up to, and you see these men, and everyone's looking up to these guys that they thought he's a born leader, and God just wiped them all out. Okay, so obviously they're very angry. So this is where we start. We start with these people turning to, not learning from their mistake and coming back again. And this time Moses really falls on his face before the Lord. All right, if you look at verse. Sorry. Verse 45. And sorry, that's chapter 16, verse 45. And God, get ye up from among them, among this congregation, and I may consume them as in a moment. And they fell on their face. That's Moses and Aaron. You know, the first point of his message is, if we're going to see God do a great work, and we want to see God do a work in Foster, as I was heading down that way, I needed to have compassion on the people. All right? Whether they be nasty or dirty or whatever, clean, you need to have compassion. Now, that's where it starts. Our motivation is a motivation of compassion. You're not going to give out a tract. You're not going to share the gospel. You're not going to do do anything without having compassion, with the love of God stirring you up, desiring to do something for Him. Now, the King of compassion is the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Amen. You see Him there at the well. He says, I must go. I've got an appointment. You see Him there at Macca's. You know, I must go. I've got a Big Mac appointment. No, it's not good for you. I don't eat it. It's good. You see Him there and as He speaks to her, He says to her, you know, first of all, she's a woman. Okay, guys don't speak to girls most time. Second of all, she's from Samaria, which is not a very, Jews don't speak to Samaritans. Third of all, she's has a bad reputation. So things are just getting worse and worse she said, why are you speaking to me? You know what? Jews don't have dealings with Samaritans. Middle of the day. And disciples in there ask Him what's going on. But the Lord had compassion on her. It reminds me about there was a lot of people around that time. But He went and saw, and she said, I know the Christ when He comes. Think about this. I know the Christ when He comes, He'll reveal me. And Jesus said, I am He. Alright? So if you don't know where they're at, you might think, oh, she's a person that's not going to accept the gospel, full of tattoos and earrings. But you don't know what's going on. Okay? Often it reminds me that you're heading out the gospel and the nice sweet old lady will tell you where to go. And this big someone do with tattoos and earrings, thanks mate. Thanks for that. You see Him sitting down reading it. You can't tell what's going on in the heart. All right? And just on that point, the guys around here, and they're very well off, very rich, they're in the same position. Sometimes we don't get motivated. We don't think, you know, oh, he's okay. He's not okay. Just because he's got some money in his bank account doesn't make him okay. You know, and sometimes we see the poor little African kid in Africa starving. Oh, yeah, we want to give him some money. Motivation, we should have your eyes adjusted, you know. Be soul conscious. You know, and don't be fooled by the outside appearance. I'm glad that my wife, when we first got married, before we got married, I told her one thing. I said, if the Lord calls me to Africa, will you go? She goes, yes. I said, well, remember that, because wherever the Lord calls us, we're going to go, and I'm giving you a chance to get out now. All right. So she's bound to go wherever we go now. So that's exciting. All right. So I've given her a get out clause. Now it's signed, sealed, and delivered. All right. Anyway, let's go on. The next point I want to make here, as I was reading, we see the first thing that challenged my heart was in verse 40. Second thing was verse 46. And you find that, and Moses said unto Aaron, take a censer and put fire therein from off the altar and put on incense and go quickly. We see there that I want to have a look, the second point is I want to have a look at go quickly. We need to have an urgency about ourselves. You know, David said, teach us to number our days. You know, we don't know how long we've got. You know, it stirs my heart when you think of Johnny Manor passing away, 21, and fit as a bull and got sick. And you know the story probably better than I. And we don't know how long we have, you know. And we need to number the days, because you might not be here tomorrow. The young girl, as we went out witnessing last week on Thursday afternoon, we got 3:30 by the way, and we went out at 2:30, just up the road from where we live, lost control, went down, not doesn't look very bad, went down, flipped the car butt, and she passed away. The passenger was critically injured, and she was 21. you know. And we drove right past there, and I said to my son, have a look. It's always a bad thing when they put a tarp over the car. You know that's not a good thing. And you can tell by the feel as you drive past, with the police officers, that it's not something, it's pretty serious. And I said to my son, have a look. You know, sometimes we can have a look and not see. He was busy playing with his, mucking around with his toys and you know, and I said to him, have a look. He said, what, Dad? What, Dad? Oh, yeah, police. And he went back to him and said, no, have a look. Have you had a look lately? People around us are dying, entering into heaven or hell, you know, and we're too busy playing with our Game Boy or doing stuff that, some of his stuff is not necessarily bad, but it is distracting, you know. We're preoccupied with things that don't matter. You know, we're too occupied. Can't miss that show, you know, that cooking show everyone's got to watch. You've got to get there on time to watch that. But my heart is, how about if you missed your time of devotion this morning? Would you be the same? Oh, I've got to get there. No. I missed that chapter. I didn't read my chapter. No, it's like, but I've got to get there to watch that show. You know, and I think we can create little idols in our heart when we lift things above. There's nothing wrong. I'm not saying don't do certain things or do certain things, so that's not going to help you. What I'm saying is watch the idols in your heart. Okay? I don't want to lay down laws. It doesn't help anybody. But you need to watch your walk with the Lord. Make sure there's nothing in between you. Alright, the second point I was making was, he said, go quickly. There's a purpose in that. We need God to stir us. We need to have an urgency. You can call it what you want to call it. We're not Calvinists. We're not thinking God's predestined this person to heaven. God's going to send this guy to hell. You know, we're not like that. We're not Jehovah's Witnesses. Got to do my 2 hours and then I can go home and praise the Lord, I'll get a place, hopefully I'll get that spot in heaven or new earth. If you really truly believe that it's by grace are you saved, and it's the free will the person has, and it's by the hearing of God's word, and if you truly believe that the scriptures is for whosoever, then you will do a little bit more. It's the little things. You know, it's the little ingredients that make a perfect cake. My wife loves cooking, and I love her cooking, so it's all good. But it's always the little ingredients. You miss out on the one ingredient and it wrecks everything. You know, and you miss out on your devotion, you wreck everything. You miss out on your Bible reading. You think, oh, it's not important. It is important. You miss out on your denying self. Just today, I'm just going to do my own thing. It doesn't have to be anything big sin. You know? If the devil comes along and tells you, there's going to be idolatry, get out of here. You know? But how about you just sleep in today? Just take it easy. All right, that sounds all right. Yeah, that sounds good. You know? He's not going to come and, to most of us, not going to say the blunt, obvious sin. We'll say, okay, no, we're not going to do that. But the little things, you know? And then we'll say, oh, that's all right. Let's watch this show. It's not that bad. Yeah, it's not that bad. You know, little things. Watch out for various things. All right? Let's go on. The first point was you need to have compassion. Have compassion on your children. Have compassion on the people around you. Second point, you need to have an urgency. Go quickly. Next thing I want you to notice, I want you to notice the purpose of his going. All right? We see that in verse 46 again. We see that go quickly unto the congregation and make an atonement for them. For there is a wrath gone out from the Lord and the plague is begun. All right? So he's saying to Aaron, go quickly. And then he says to him, look, the wrath of the Lord, the plague is begun. And Aaron runs in, as you guys have the story read already, and the plague began, and 14,700 people died, and he stood between the living and the dead. And we see the purpose of his going there was to make an atonement. We know that the purpose of my going and your going as you share Christ on particular time or as you go out and you're working or wherever you're going, the purpose we're here is not to earn a big, get a newer car or a new bigger house. Or the purpose we're here, God left us, is to be a light for Christ. Okay? To make the atonement, share the covering which Christ has already shared with us. A substitute. Reminds me of a story which I heard by Kevin Carroll, and he reminds us of that Christ is the lifesaver. You know, as we know in Australia, and we're drowning or you're in trouble, you get caught in a rip. There are ridiculous numbers of rips in Australia everywhere at one time, and you get caught, and what you got to do is you got to call out. All right, but when you call out, and you've got a good, and the lifesaver's got you, and he's got you, and you're going, and you know you're in his hand, you're secure, and you're heading towards the promised land, and you're excited about that, and you see somebody else drowning, what are you going to say? Good luck. Swim harder. Left stroke first, right stroke. No. It's not how you do it. What do you say? You say, he's worthy to be trusted. Amen? You point to him and say, he's worthy to be trusted. He can save you too. Will you trust him? Amen? So it reminds me of that as our purpose to going to Foster. It's a beautiful spot. You know? But that's not always. We're not there because it's a beautiful spot. The purpose to go is not to have a good relaxation time among the wild. It's crazy. I live in a zoo. Wake up, there's kangaroos lying everywhere, and there's we've got koalas in the tree, and we've got animals. It's a very beautiful spot. But honestly, I love Jesus, you know, and I don't care about the stupid kangaroos or the koala bears or all the thing. We're there to share the gospel because I love Christ and because Christ first loved me. Amen. I was a black little boy living in an unknown place called Mauritius. Actually, in most of the maps, when you looked at the maps when I was growing up, if they didn't even have a little dot for Mauritius. Okay? So, Jesus loved even me. Amen? And we go to the purpose because he calls us, he uses us. There's no greater blessing, there's no greater passion, there's no greater thrill to following Christ. Amen? Whether you're a mother or you're a dad, you know, first of all, you need to have compassion. Second, you need to have a stirring of God in your heart. Your kids need that. They need you to have that. Okay? And third of all, you need to have the purpose, knowing that the world around us need to see Christ and be looking at you. The fourth thing God challenged me, again, in the same verse, says here, verse 46, take your censer and put fire therein from off the altar and put on incense and go quickly. Alright? Moses said to Aaron, alright, I want you to go to the altar. I want you to get fire. I want you to get the censer, and I want you to get the incense. As we go to start a church or even here, as you go do anything for the Lord, you need the fire of the Lord. You need to get at the altar of God. You know, you're not going to do anything, you're not going to do for anything that will count for anything if you don't get on your knees, you don't have your personal quiet time in the secret place with God. You know, that's where we get the fire from God. Okay? First of all, it's not any sort of fire. It is a holy fire. Okay, you can't just say, I'm going to come as I am, you know, and Lord, here I am. No, you come in reverence before God. It reminds me of a story of Elisha. The king went looking for elsewhere, and God sent and told Elisha to tell him, you're going to die. Simply, long story short, you know, is there no king in Israel that you're going to look for other gods? You're going to die. He had an accident, he fell through the lattice. And the king said, well, send a captain of 50. You guys know the story. And the captain of 50, and he went with the captain, and the captain said, oh, man of God, you know, come down, the king, blah, 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 come, let's go. And, well, if I am a man of God, the fire come down from heaven, and Long story short, fire came down, all gone. Scene two, same thing happened. Oh, man of God, come down. And fire comes down, and long story short, did you know, I can bet you that the captain, the second captain, knew what happened to the first one. You know how? Because the third captain said on his, fell on his face, and he didn't say anything. He said, have mercy on my life and the life of these 50 men. Because I know fire has come in. Fire has come and devoured the others. So he would have heard about what happened. He would have said, baloney. You know, we don't believe in that fairy tale stuff. You know, so it takes you to listen sometime. Anyway, so we see there that when we approach at the altar, fell on your face. May I give you a word of advice? I don't know very much, but shut up. Okay? You get there and you be quiet. Alright? You've got nothing worth to say. Alright? Come there and say, oh God, I'm a sinner. I acknowledge that I'm saved by your grace. But, you know, it's not that I live now in the flesh, but I'm by the grace of God, like, just acknowledge who He is, you know. Often we come and we have a petition. God, I want you to do this and do that, which is great, which is good, which is awesome. But we need to come and just fall before Him, you know, and acknowledge Him for who He is, you know. And then, when you have to pray, when you do pray, you'll have the fire of God. The Spirit of God will use you. I can testify to that because the ladies, we've got four lovely ladies there at church. The elderly sisters, they're actually part of 9 kids. And their dad was a missionary, Baptist missionary, came from Canada. And they're actually part of our church back there. And often they'll say to my wife, he prays as if he believes in it. He prays as if God hears him. You know, it's nothing of myself. My preaching is lame, I'll be honest. If you're looking for a good pastor, don't come to my church. You know, but if you're looking for the power of God and looking for what God can do, you know, then I encourage the folks that God can do all things. You know, And the fourth point was, notice the method of his going. Was to seek the power of God. If we want to do anything for the Lord, if you want this church to be a light for Lane Cove, and if you want to reach this world, we need the power of God on our life. We need to come to the altar. We need the fire. And then the incense will work. Verse 47. Let's have a look at that. On the fifth point. As I was reading from my devotion, I just wondered how God kept bringing me back here and bringing me back here and just challenging me on the same thing about concerning going. How am I going to go? What am I going to do? I want you to notice his placement. Alright, verse 47. And Aaron stood and took as Moses commanded and ran into the midst of the congregation. One point. God said, get away from them, I'm going to consume them in a moment. Moses says to Aaron, get in the middle. Sounds confusing. I'm pretty confused. I mean, go, stay, go. But reality is, we need to go. We need to be in the midst and yet not be of them. All right? We need to be separate. All right? So we want to be in the midst. And that's can be confusing because some people tend to be separatists. Leave everybody behind. You know, and don't have anything to do with anybody. But what we want to do is we want to be different. We want to make holiness a priority, making God the central point, making Christ our heart's desire. And then when we stand in the midst, it's not going to be because we've got earrings and we've got long hair and we're, what they, exactly, we're going to be different. That's the going to be the difference when we stand. We're standing there in the midst, in the power of God. If you picture this, as he stood between the living and the dead, as he ran in, there was 17,000 people that passed away and the plague stopped. And he stood, you picture this, between the living and the dead. Or if you know Christ, you're part of the living. Alright? When I received Christ, I stood and Christ was the living. And he stood between the living, which is God. Christ stood or hang, and I was the dead. Alright? So God's looking for someone to stand in the midst. Leads to our very last point. His posture. Won't you notice his posture, which is he stood. God's looking for a church. God's looking for a man or a woman. God's looking for one person to stand. Alright, when we stand having compassion, having the right purpose, not going there to make soup kitchen. We're going there to save souls. We have a heart after souls. We're going there to stand to have the right method by the power of God, and only by the power of God and anything done. Then I just say on the side point, that is where most of us fail. Okay? We fail to pray. Once again, simple things. Amen? It's just simple. We fail to get up and pray. I used to work as a metal worker before, 6 years. We started at 7, I was up at 5, I had to get up at 4 to pray. Okay? And then when I finished that, I started working with people with disabilities for 16 years, still doing that. And the same ball game, but a bit more difficult, rosters and all the rest. You still got to make, prioritize. You know, and I got to learn that at college. I was there, I started college at Victory. We were there for 2 years and went across to be Pastor Brad for 11 years at Crossroad. And I've done roughly around 10 years, something like that, of part-time college. One time I did 6 semesters at one time. So juggling act. You've got college, you've got ministry, you've got family. And then you've got God. Alright? So you need to squeeze it all in and by the grace of God. And I'll tell you, I would put ministry, I would put the right things first. And then work came last. And then I would have 8 hours. Lord, I've got Thursday off, Thursday afternoon between that and that. And I need work. And they would call me. Oh, Sid, can you work between that and that? No? And that continue for 10 years. And it's not, it's simple things. And God reminds me that with the simple things in life that actually achieves things in life, you know. And sometimes we tend to look for the big picture. And, all right, the last point, God's looking for a man to stand. God's looking for a family. You know, your church here is made up of singles, made up of families. We need families that would have desire to stand for the right thing, stand for God. As we conclude, I'd like to read this very well-known verse, alright? Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, says, and Jesus said, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in all heaven and all the earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, and teach them to observe all things. Whatsoever I have commanded you, lo, I am with you always, even unto the ends of the earth. Amen. So our heart's desire is to go and share Christ. And the Lord has truly used us in a small way. and we're excited to see what God's doing there in at Chatham. I thank you for your prayers. It is exciting to see having churches. Honestly, I was picturing God said go. I said yes. I was picturing I will go. I would be preaching to my wife for the next 10 years. And we have pretty much it. You know, oh, Lord, that's excellent. Let's go. And God is able to do far more than we think. God would have said, here's a book, you write, you can plan out your life, I would have been pretty messed up. You know, but God gives you, we need to learn to, off the topic, we need to learn to praise God for our sicknesses. Praise God for the things that we don't think are worth praising God for, you know, and move on, you know, and I thank you to your pastor for asking me to come. And as we conclude, I said that already, but compassion is the key. Urgency is what we need. We need the power of God, we need the right method, and we need to stand in the midst. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we do give you thanks for your word. We're thankful that we can look in your word. We're thankful for your working in our hearts. And Lord, we do pray that you bless your people here. We pray that you would use them. We pray that you would do work beyond Lane Cove and Lord, throughout the whole world as you desire, Lord. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you.